Imagine a place where one person finds the car of your dreams and handles the entire process. VIP Motor Cars sales and concierge services tailored exclusively to you, no matter what you drive. VIPMotorCars.net.
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing wonderfully. I mean, everything's going well, buddy. I wasn't in the bottom two, and it's always good when you don't have to stand up under that spotlight. And they said, dun, 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 dun. One of these couples are going home. You don't know that pressure, of course. You won.
Yeah, but I tell you what, being in that spotlight is not easy at all, especially even if you're not even in the bottom two. Just being in that spotlight, knowing that someone on this stage, including myself, might be eliminated. And you just don't know who that person could possibly be.
It is ugly. It's something I don't wish on anybody. I was telling everybody, I'm used to the drama in TV. I'm just not used to being part of and being the main part of the drama. And that's what it is. I get a feeling now. I understand where it's Kevin and Nate has been, you know, being on the bubble. I had never been a player on the bubble.
Yeah.
So I wanted to come to where
people were.
It's
not that funny, Emmett. It's funny. It's not all that funny, though. Emmett, I got to ask you, before we get to football, I got to ask you about this. Now, during the time you were on there, did you consider yourself going in a good dancer, and how much better did you get during the period of time you were on that
show?
You
know, Kevin, to be honest with you, going into the show, I felt like I could dance. If I was in a club, I know how to dance. I know I had some rhythm and so forth. But ballroom dancing was something entirely different for me. And not knowing what to expect, I knew I could learn some of the stuff. The question was going to be how quickly I can learn it and how quickly I can make it look all graceful while trying to do it. That was my biggest issue. And once I realized I was able to do that, then it became fun. It became a challenge. It became exciting for me. I look forward to dancing every Monday or Tuesday night. I mean, it was just a great show.
Yeah, they do a great job with production, and I'm still waiting to get to that place you were just mentioning, where it's all easy and it's fun, and
Mike, I'm looking forward to that.
I'm having a lot of fun. But
why I got you on the show? I mean, you the one told me, E, go over there, don't just relax and have fun.
Yeah, but I was telling you that because I wanted us to be able to laugh. Emmett came to me when he first heard this. We were in church. He said, I'll talk to you. And then we were going to lunch with Bishop and everybody afterwards. So I said, we'll talk at lunch. And so when he first asked me about it, I looked at him and said, man, this would be great, man. I think you should do it. But I was really talking about, boy, we're going to have some fun laughing at this right here, you know. Then it goes and win the thing, and now I'm sitting up here and everybody's laughing at me.
Yeah, we're having a blast.
Ooh-wee. Man, just relax, man. Relax, man, and have fun. Let it go. What you holding back for? Well, let it go. This is your opportunity. Shine.
Did you see that sex? I meant that bolero we did on last week on TV.
Yeah, I saw it.
I was like, is this? Everybody was having sex on that floor.
But you know what? Dancing is somewhat
sexual.
There's a sexual connotation to dancing, this is an opportunity. If the dance required for you to be sexual or sensual, be sexual and sensual. If it requires for you to be elegant and classy, be elegant and classy. That's the unique part about dancing. You have to go in and out of character on all of those dances.
And we will.
Emmett, you sound like an expert.
Listen to Emmett.
I mean,
over here.
The all-time leading rusher talking about the sexuality of dance on the Michael Irvin show.
speaking of an expert, there's another place that you are definitely an expert amongst experts. So let's get to talking about these Cowboys. What are your thoughts on last week's game?
You know what? I saw something that I've been looking for and I have not seen since the Cowboys played the Pittsburgh Steelers last year up in Pittsburgh. I saw a defense rise to the occasion, even though the first half was not quite up to par. But I tell you what, in the second half they came with another level of intensity. Although they did fizzle out at the end in terms of, because they were on the football field quite a bit, And they have been playing quite a bit of football in terms of defense, a number of plays, that is. And so I can understand how they kind of ran out of steam, ran out of gas in the fourth quarter. And I got a solution for that, too, at the same time. But then when I look at our offense, oh, man, I saw a chameleon, so to speak. And what I mean by that, I saw a team, offensive unit that was on the borderline of tinkering and flirting with disaster, meaning falling apart. And Marion Barber, as great of a football player as Marion Barber is, I don't believe he's completely healthy. The quad injury is nothing to take lightly. But he is giving it his all and the best that he can. But when you put Deshaun Choice in there and some of the running lanes that he was able to hit with his body being completely healthy and the speed that he has, he made things happen. And Miles Austin, to me, has been one of the most underrated wide receivers that the Dallas Cowboys have had in their arsenal for the past couple of years. I've always been a big Miles Austin fan. I've always talked about how the Cowboys should have kept T.O. and inserted Miles Austin and Patrick Creighton in the slot, along with Jason Witten at the tight end spot, which would have created so much speed on that field, which would have gave Patrick Creighton plenty of room to work with in the middle. But now that T.O. is gone, Miles Austin may be the biggest play threat that we have, and so we should utilize him a lot more than we have in the past. And fortunately for him, and God bless him, the kid had 10 catches, 250 yards. He showed the Cowboys truly, do not keep me on the sideline. Do not just make me a special team player. I don't care what other guys are making. I'm the guy that you should be throwing the ball to because I'm going to make plays. Until everyone else step up to his level, that's the way it should be. And one thing that I saw about Tony Romo, I'm proud of Tony Romo because he played, and even when things got bad, he was you could see his emotions. Whereas in the past, you rarely ever saw his emotions. It meant something to him, and that much I appreciate. Now I say all this to say that the Dallas Cowboys have a true chance of playing well if they can do it on a consistent basis and play with that type of intensity from quarter one to quarter four. That I've yet to see. If they can pull that off, they got a very good chance of being a very, very good team.
It's a tough NFC East, Emmitt, and we're talking to Emmitt Smith on the Mike Irvin Show. You said Miles Austin has to get on the football field after that performance. He's a guy that you've always admired. Well, who comes off the football field?
Right now you have Roy that's injured. You have Patrick Creighton that's out there performing right now. And with the threesome that you have right now between Patrick Creighton, Miles Austin, and Sam Hurd, I think you ought to utilize those three guys right now until Roy get back. But until then, your threesome is still Miles Austin, Patrick Creighton, and Roy Williams when he comes back. Now, matter of fact, you should put Roy in the middle, let his big behind battle some of those slow linebackers and utilize his size and his jumping ability inside and let Patrick Creighton and Miles Austin be outside and let them burn up the sidelines.
Well, you just brought up a very interesting point there, more of a tight end type of a body and like a flex end for Roy Williams. Emmitt, we kind of ate up the first segment with Dancing with the Stars. Can you hang on here for a second? Can you hang on through the break and then we could do a little more?
No problem. Anything to help Michael get paid.
I appreciate you helping me get paid. I appreciate it. All of that blocking I did to help you become all-time leading rusher, I laid the ball on the one-yard line. Emmitt Smith. The touchdown maker after I laid the ball on the one-yard line. Up next on the Mike Irvin Show. I got to tell you something my wife said to Emmitt. I'll tell you next on the air. All right, that next on the Mike Irvin Show.
FM ESPN. It is Game Plan Wednesday, and who better to game plan anything with than the all-time leading rusher for the National Football League? And in season three of Dancing with the Stars, the number one guy there, Emmitt Smith joins us on the Michael Irvin Show. Emmitt, you're feeling better about the Cowboys?
Well, I tell you what I saw was very nice to see. Because when you look at the Cowboys play on Sunday, I saw something that I have not seen in a long time. And the reason why I want to compare it to the game that I saw on Sunday night, which was the Miami Dolphins, or Monday night game, which was the Miami Dolphins game against the New York Jets, is because if you see the energy that both teams play with and the intensity that both teams play with, that is what's going to put the Cowboys in position to become a very, very good team. The Cowboys have not played with that type of energy for four quarters yet. They cannot do it because physically it will wear them down. Because either one or two things, they're not accustomed to practicing with that type of intensity for long periods of time, and they're going to continue to sputter at times in games. You're going to see little false starts penalties like you saw in the game on Sunday with Flozell jumping offside a number of times. You're going to see a jumping offside penalty on the defense, et cetera, et cetera. Little bit of things like that tells me that teams may not be, or this team may not be accustomed to going for four quarters with that type of style of intensity. And that can be a problem for the Dallas Cowboys.
Out of shape.
And how do you fix that, Emmett? I mean, is that a coaching issue or is that something?
Well, I believe it's done in practice. I believe it's done wearing full gear on Wednesday and Thursday. And if you perform well on Wednesday and Thursday, you have the luxury of going out on Friday without the shoulder pads on. And so it's one of those things that you have to train your body to do, and that's all within practice. If your practices are intense, like games are intense, on a consistent basis, and you're pushing your team to the limit, when it comes down to game time, the games become very simple, very easy. And when you're under the gun, you don't make the little bit of mistakes that you see our Cowboys making.
Mm. And what were your thoughts? All of those penalties, just one after another, is conditioning? You believe some of that's conditioning?
Well, I believe it could be conditioning, or it just could be put this way, it's the lack of focus, and sometimes the lack of focus is brought on because of the lack of conditioning.
Fatigue making cowards.
Or the lack of intensity in practice, or the lack of intensity and focus for a long period of time. That's what I believe could be the case. Now, I heard Roy say a couple weeks ago when I was on the air how hard they practice. Sometimes it's not about how hard you practice. Sometimes it's the quality of the hardness of practice that's really important, because if you can practice hard with quality reps, meaning everybody's focused, not a whole lot of mistakes, and you're executing at the optimal level and clicking on all cylinders, when it comes down to game time, your execution level is going to be at a whole nother level.
Emmett Smith on the Michael Irvin Show. Emmett, this is a loaded question here, and maybe an unfair question.
Why you give me loaded questions?
because you're the all-time leading rusher, and I give them to Michael all the time.
I wanted to share
my loaded question.
What did you all say, Emmett?
I don't think you give them to you as much as I get them.
Here, this we're in a bye week. And you're talking about intensity, and Wade is not known, at least he's not known outside the locker room for his intensity. Is there any chance of, or is it reasonable to expect that some of the players on the team get together and say, Wade wants to give us 3 days off, let's come in anyway. Let's ask him to have us come in here. It's that important to us. Because I don't see any of that. I don't know how irregular that would be or how strange. But it seems to me that's the kind of type of thing, if you guys needed to do it, because you didn't with Jimmy, but if you guys needed to do it, you would have done it. And that's how champions are built, it seems to me. So that's where the loaded question comes in.
It depends on when they get their 3 days off. Right now, as far as I'm concerned, the Cowboys should be practicing today, tomorrow, and maybe a half a day on Friday, and they go and spend Friday, Saturday, and Sunday off and come back with a light run on Monday, and they're back in full gear again on Wednesday. And I think the next 2 days, like today and tomorrow, they should probably be in full gear working on being physical up front when they're running the football, cleaning up some of the mistakes that they've made thus far, and working on that conditioning, that focus, that commitment, and that intensity starting right now while you have what you call a bye week. Take this bye week to sharpen up on your skills and hone in on some of the things that you have made a lot of mistakes in. And so I don't mind the guys having 3 days off. It's just when. I think they should have it probably Saturday, Sunday, and part of Monday. I mean, period. My opinion. Of course, I'm not the head coach, and the intensity is not necessarily driven by the head coach, because the head coach could be a guy like Wade, but he also have assistants. And those guys can push their team segment members to a whole nother level of practice at the same time. And when they get in these team drills, this should be combat, offense against defense, because the defense is going to make the offense better, and the offense is going to make the defense better. That's the way it should work.
And when we see the mistakes that we've seen, do you put that more on the player or on the coach?
I think it's a combination of both. I think the player has the responsibility as a professional athlete to not only be focused, but to understand and hear the voice of his play caller. And if he cannot hear, he needs to hold hands with the next guy. So when the next guy moves, they both are moving at the same time. And so it's one of those kind of things. And I think as a coach, he should run a player to death until the player get it in his head. I'm not going to jump offside. I don't care if I'm late.
Yeah. Because they had this thing where, okay, you get taken out of play if you jump offside. I never liked it in training camp when they did that, to say, oh, you mess up, get off a play. Because I thought some of those fat boys on the front, when they get tired, they'll just jump offside to take a few plays off anyway. But when you make them run, they're not going to jump off sides and then have to go run.
Amen. Because at the end of the day, opportunity cost is you jumping off sides, and you costing our team the opportunity of field position, yardage gain, brought back, all those kind of things. And so the punishment should be, hey, we're going to run for a while until you figure this thing out, because at some point, you have to understand, we may be a good football team when we're playing at our very, very best with the intensity for four quarters. We may be a very good football team, but if we're playing nowhere near at our best, we cannot afford to have a whole bunch of mistakes that's costing us yardage and costing us field position.
Emmett Smith on the Michael Irvin Show. Emmett, how good is Deshard Choice?
I think Deshard Choice is a very good 1-2 punch. Right at this stage where the Cowboys are with Marion Barber, because obviously Felix Jones is still injured a little bit. And so we don't know how good Deshard Choice is. I want to caution everybody this. Deshard Choice is the third running back. He's not the number one. When you're number one running back and teams are preparing for you, some of the yardage that you see him getting may not come as easy when you're the number one. That's when teams are gearing up to stop you. That's what makes the number one running back position a tough position to be in, because teams are gearing up for you. Like Adrian Peterson, for example, they know that AP is going to get the ball 20-some times a game, and so they're gearing their defense up to stop him. Deshard Choice, they don't know if it's going to be Deshard or if it's going to be Felix Jones or if it's going to be Marion Barber. So right now they're preparing for Marion Barber and possibly Felix Jones.
That's a sweet spot. That's a sweet spot right there, man, because when we talk wide receiver, I understand the difference between preparing for the number one wide receiver and then the other guys, you know, with the role coverages and putting the best cornerback or sneaking a linebacker to run up under the best wide receiver, the number one wide receiver. But when you start thinking running back, nobody really breaks it down in the sense of them preparing for a number one running back versus a number two and a number three, because they think, hey, you're just preparing for to tackle the guy that's running the football. How is it that a defense can prepare? Give us an example for a Marion Barber and be less prepared in that same game for a Deshard Choice.
Well, let me put it to you this way. When I played and I was out on the football field, I saw the safety creeping down in the box. That put eight men in the box. I knew what was about to go down. It was going to be tough to run the football. When I came off the football field, it went to cover two. Seven men in the box trying to stop.
They're worried about me then.
They'll worry about you. So that's the difference between a number one guy.
I got you. That's why, and when I saw that extra safety, and I came over and said, you got to get this dude off of that field. You got to run that football and get him down. I appreciate it, man.
That's why you told me in the Giants game, man, just stand back there. Make them think that you're going to run the football so they can bring that eighth man in the box.
Yeah, I was expected to be the star of that game. Even with that broken shoulder, you kept running. And running.
They kept giving it to me. Mike, it's not like I was back there, Troy, giving the ball on my shoulder, and I still want to run it. No.
So you're saying that was my fault for making you stand back there.
You had a whole lot to do with it.
Emmett, as always, Emmett, thank you so much, Emmett, for your time. We love having you.
Hey, love you, man, and I'm going to call you this afternoon because we got to talk about this thing.